individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, well,
wow, that sounds loud in my ear.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Cindy, and we have Matt running the board for us here at Shooter's Corner here in great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it is currently 68 degrees on August 13th, 2026, in the year of our Lord. That was a mouthful.
Did you even take a breath on that?
I didn't, but hold on.
Oh, I don't even have a mic near me.
Cindy's smacking mics around. All right.
Yeah.
Now I have a mic.
It sounds like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner going through your system.
And I'm going to crack my early morning beer here since I'm
tired. It's not Cindy making noise this morning yet.
No, actually, this is my Monster.
Sugar-free.
It is. I had to do away with the Celsius Canadian communist drinks there for a second.
They are not communist.
Might as well be.
Might as no. well.
I have some good friends that are Canadian. They're nice people.
C is for Celsius. A. Nope. Commie.
A.
A.
Let's start the show. Well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Remember, you can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says, what? I don't know. Listen live. If you missed any of our past shows, go on there and click on Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden. You'll scroll down past the bio stuff, and then you'll see all the links of all the past shows, some of which are absolutely comical, especially last week's.
Last week's went off the rail.
Cindy's Beanie Baby collection. Yeah. Anyways. What? Why are you Nothing. Eyeballing me or mean mugging me over there, Cindy?
No.
All right. Just a few announcements here. Let's see. Hold on. It's August 17th. Or it's the 13th. Okay. So YHAC still has a rifle raffle going on for the Winchester 243. The drawing is not until August 17th. So if you're still interested in tickets, reach out to Melody over there at 907-351-8625. That is 907-351-8625. Contact Melody. See if they still have any tickets left for their raffle. I know that they were selling them over at Diamond Spear. And then they were also selling them over at Alaska Ammo when they were doing their bake sale this last weekend. So I don't know how many tickets they have remaining. But, hey, that's a great organization to help support. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the training of citizens in our editorial today because it goes back to the Federalist Papers. And I think that that is a good start right there when you have these young organizations or youngster organizations that are training our kids how to, I don't know, keep and bear arms respectfully and responsibly. So I think that's a good thing. Let's see. The next ACHP class, Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class, is 19th and 20th of September. If you just want to get basic handgun training and then also add in your little 20-round qualification for the state and get maybe a permit because you want that reciprocity in the other 39 states, or you'd like that NICS exemption so you don't get delayed, all the other craziness that goes along with that, that's the class to get, and that's held over at Alaska Ammo by C4 Training Group. You can always go to c4traininggroup.com, find those dates that work for you. All of them are posted all the way through the end of the year, and that would be awesome. So we had a really good turnout for the August class.
Yeah.
We did.
They were probably, I know you're getting ready to say this too, Matt. They are probably the most rambunctious and comical class that we have ever had.
I have to agree with that, and you know, what really touched my heart was that majority were women.
75% of the class was women.
Yep.
And that was just awesome to see.
I thought that was great to see. I think that might have been the most fun I've had in the class. Everyone was just joking around, like you said, rambunctious, but everyone meshed together really well. Really well. Everyone was sharing ideas. I know at the end, everyone was sharing contact information and wanting to get together. So really good community building event that you know, obviously you want to get with people who are like-minded, but at a class like that, usually it's people come and go, but seeing everyone want to come together and talk more was awesome.
And we did have one of our students that has been to multiple classes was there to support a friend, or was it his daughter?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Shane.
Yeah.
Good old
Shane. Thank you. That was just, I mean, totally awesome. And he was there just, you know.
You know what was interesting? One of the shirts that he was wearing was Gun Rights or Human Rights.
Yep.
And it kind of led into that article that you were working on, that editorial you were working on, Cindy, talking about how the firearm is a great equalizer for women.
It really
is. And when you start taking away, or let me rephrase, when the government starts taking away the right to keep and bear arms, it affects all genders as well, right? Like, I get it, but women especially.
So it was really interesting. I had a conversation. I was out of town for a couple of days with a ladies' trip, and one of my friends thought it was just, it's not a it is a marketing tool when you go in to buy a pink handgun or a turquoise handgun. They're marketing towards women. It's not taking rights from women because of that, or you're just trying to sell, not sell to women. I think their view on it was a little bit lost because I'm like,
I'm kind of confused of where you're going with this.
Well, it's like, well, they're not buying gear towards women. Well, it's a marketing tool when you sell a pink handgun, a purple handgun to women. Women go for color more so than men. Am I right? Or am I wrong on that?
I would say that you're probably a little bit more right.
I go in and look for, oh, I want something pink, or I want something, you know, blue, my colors.
I guess my point is, why are you concerned about the color? Because you're not necessarily accessorizing an outfit if you're carrying it concealed.
Well, a lot of people don't know that.
You know? So.
A lot of people
And it
don't
probably
know.
Would be better if it was like, and I'm not making a disparaging comment.
But my revolver
if it wasn't something like
pink.
A Charter Arms pink 38 special, you know, I mean, if it was I can't say legitimate firearms manufacturer. What would be a reputable, like a better one that doesn't malfunction like every third round? Like,
something proven.
There you go, Matt. Something proven in a gunfight.
No, when I went
like,
up
okay, to- like maybe I could put some accessories on it as far as color or something like that. I mean,
I think it's a marketing tool because I
Googled. Absolutely.
It's, and I told her, I said, it's a marketing tool.
Yeah. It's kind of like plus P and plus P.
Plus.
Yeah. Words are hard.
Now, explain what that is because some people don't know.
Well, it's just where they load the round to a little bit higher chamber pressure so that he gets a little bit more feet per second, a little bit more of a kick and a flip and you know, all that kind of stuff because they try to market it and say, hey, it's a better defensive round because you're getting better penetration, you know, and maybe you are. But it's like I tell every student, use the same self-defense ammunition that maybe your local law enforcement agency uses, and therefore you cannot have a prosecutor or if a civil suit should happen, you have another person trying to argue that you're using zombie killers or some type of other crazy round.
Well, as you bring that up, that was funny. We were in Wasilla, and I was in a couple place on a ladies' trip. And here I have seen the whole time we were in Wasilla for 2 days, I saw three people open carry. And one guy takes his handgun out. We're sitting and eating breakfast in a restaurant. Takes his handgun out outside and is readjusting his belt and just lays his handgun down right there on the hood of his car.
Okay.
Well, right there in the open, crowded parking lot.
Yeah. I can kind of see him.
Yeah. Maybe not a great look, you know.
Yeah.
Not the best.
Lawful but awful.
Yeah. I like that. We need a shirt.
Yeah.
Lawful but awful. Okay.
Lawful but awful.
That's a new shirt. I'll make a note.
You know, it's not illegal to do that, but does it garner some sideways looks? Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously. I mean, to the point that Cindy had to remember that. I mean, so it did have raise some type of emotion.
I mean, it doesn't matter how wrapped around the law you are, and if you know all the legal aspects and you assume everyone else knows it, they don't. Right, yeah. There's a lot of open carry people, especially like in Florida, when they can certain areas where they can open carry, cops get called all the time, and they have to explain it to them. Here's the law, here's this, and here's that, and it's just people panic. Probably not the smartest thing to do is waving something around, walking around with it.
It was another Californian that moved it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we see the same thing up here too. People from the Lower 48 come up here and stuff, and they think that like, oh my God, my neighbor can't be shooting in their backyard. Yeah. Well, if they're not inside the borough, they're not inside, you know, like, and they have backstop. It's not a backstop issue, then that's actually legal. So, and not in the city limits. So, but what do we have? I really don't want to get into this week's in firearm history because it's pretty interesting. Because there was actually two significant birthdays that happened this week.
Well, I am going to have a topic coming up. Because I decided to leave out of town for a few days, so I set that on the back table. But we will have a conversation about women and their rights in the Second Amendment.
Well, they have the same rights as
men.
Thank you.
But some women don't see that.
You don't think so? Mm-mm. Interesting.
I'd actually agree with her on that one. I see a lot of women that don't believe that, even though the letter of the law is there and here's the rules that are written, they think it just, to them, they're, for some reason, they feel like it doesn't apply to them in the sense of they can't use as much or do as much.
I'd be interested to hear this perspective then. I think the listeners would be interested in hearing this perspective from your point of view there, Sin. So, anyways, have to go on our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation about all things interesting, obviously. And we're going to talk about this week's in firearm history. We're going to cover our editorial as well because I want to talk about some of these letters from the Federal Farmer. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own backing.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. We're here with Tiffany Wells, Queen of the Silver Salmon Sisterhood. You're here in Valdez and your husband's Coast Guard. You took out a Coast Guard morale boat, which they rent out here to catch your derby winner. So not a big boat, right?
It is not. The most people we could have on there at any time is six people, and we maxed it out yesterday with the four girls and the two guys that were helping us out, and there's about enough room to stand and fish.
And you got your limit, and it was a big party out by Goose Island with lots of people catching fish. You are an avid fisherwoman. Your family fishes a lot. Explain this year's fishing compared to your previous year's experiences for silvers.
So this year, I feel like there was a lot more fish out there, and there were bigger fish. And I'm not a huge fan of trolling, but we did a lot of that yesterday. And I was like, okay, this isn't so boring when you're actually catching them. I hate just strolling around like that, but we were catching them.
There's a difference between catching and fishing.
Yes.
And yesterday was a catching day.
Yes, definitely catching day. Yeah, for sure.
How deep were you trolling when you hit the big $1,000 cash, $1,000 prize fish for the women's derby?
I wasn't paying that much attention. I think we're in about 100 feet of water, and we were, I don't know how far down we're trolling, maybe about 60 feet or so.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Ben here at Auto Trim Design. Summer is moving down the road, and that means it's time to start getting ready for winter. At Auto Trim Design, we have something for everyone. Get your remote start with drone mobile, moose lights, heated seats, seat covers, tonneau covers, toppers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more before the snow flies. Auto Trim Design is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle accessory needs, located at 2550 South Cushman Street under the huge American flag. Stop in or give us a call at 456-8400.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 80. East winds around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Tonight, lows around 57. Overcast skies. Slight chance for isolated showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner in great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We were just talking, like, we heard the weather and stuff like that, but, Matt, you were saying we're supposed to have, like, some rain this weekend, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I was looking at I woke up to a special weather
like a weather alert?
And I was like, great, heat. That's just the first thing my mind went to. And then I look, and, oh, boy, just every day.
Yeah, but it's only, like, 60 to 40%. That means it's not happening.
No, that's area of coverage, not percentage of happening.
Oh, whatever.
I found that out. It blew my mind. I'm not, but I have to. I have to say it. I learned it. I got to say it.
I know.
It's such a fun fact.
It is kind of a funny fact, but whatever. I don't believe anything that comes out of the weather people up here anyways. I mean, I get it. You know, they have an occupation. They have something to do. Maybe there is some science behind it or whatever. I think it's more like witchcraft when you live north of the Alaska Range.
I don't know. We took off
Monday. All bets are off.
We took off Monday morning to Wasilla, and we took our whole time going, and you could see Denali out. It was so clear. No clouds.
I just don't trust the weather.
Cindy sent a text that said, Denali's out. I was like, well, hypothetically, I mean, Denali is always out.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just doesn't, like, fall back into the earth, like, oh, I'm behind, I'm a turtle, I'm going to pull my head back in.
If Denali was turtling, we'd have bigger issues.
Yeah, like, we would probably cease to exist.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
But it's just not visible because...
It was. I mean, it was visible. Denali is visible. It was hot. It was beautiful.
I just don't trust anything the weather says up here just because it'll say it's raining. Tomorrow could be, you know, S-wording. And then the next day there could be a sandstorm for some reason. Like, up here it is so random. But anyway.
Yeah. All right. This week's in firearm history.
Yeah, please tell us about the history.
All right. So this week actually has two birthdays that are closely tied together in American firearms culture. August 13th, 1860. Who do you think was born?
My wife.
Jesus.
Phoebe Ann Mosley.
She was
no Mosey.
It is really quick. I would like to say happy birthday to my wife. Today is her birthday.
Oh, yep. Alex, yep. Happy birthday. Yep.
Well, now it's tomorrow for her, but same.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yep, she turned 104. Old. Just really out there.
I'm just there for the Social Security.
Yep, I sent her the link today. I said I was going to send her happy birthday. I'm hoping she's listening. This would be great.
If not, she can go back and listen to the archive.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll kick him for you.
What does a 104-year-old get in their Social Security check?
Maybe 38 cents, whatever's remaining from the overall fund.
Based on what their earnings
probably
were at
nothing.
That time.
They probably hit a cap. They're like, yeah, we're done paying you.
Yeah, right.
That 2 year.
Okay, so back to Phoebe Ann Mosey. Okay, so on August 13, 1860, Phoebe Ann Mosey, better known as Annie Oakley, was born in Ohio. The following day, August 14th, 1851, who was born?
John Henry, Doc.
I would say Doc Holliday, I think.
Holliday there, Cindy.
I knew you'd fill in Holliday. That's why I just said Doc.
Yeah, he was born in Georgia. Okay. So their lives took very different paths. However, both are linked significantly to the firearms history of the American West. All right, because Annie Oakley, we know her. We talk about her actually in some of our classes.
Yep.
Because she basically practiced the two most important fundamentals of marksmanship, which are crickets in here. For the love of God.
Looking right. Cool, aiming, being cool.
Aiming and trigger control. Aiming consists of sight alignment and sight picture.
Yes.
Trigger control, nice smooth trigger press without disturbing your sight alignment, right?
Well,
sight...
we were waiting for you to finish it off. We didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay. Sounds good. I was giving you an opportunity to, like, show your brilliance. Annie Oakley stands out as one of the finest
exhibition.
Yeah, okay. Finest shooters.
There's your fine excellence.
Good shooter.
This country has produced. She developed her skill out of necessity, hunting to support her family, and later refined it into a professional art in the Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West Show. Woohoo! She demonstrated a level of precision that few could match. Small targets at distance, rapid and deliberate shots, and consistent accuracy became her trademark. That's cool. Oakley proved that mastery of the rifle and shotgun rested on fundamentals, disciplined practice, and focused attention, not on reputation or circumstance. Her career remains a clear example that competence with a firearm is earned. Woohoo! Doc Holliday, on the other hand, occupies a different place in the historical record. A trained dentist.
A dentist, listen.
Who later...
What? Makes your teeth.
Who later became associated with the frontier and the events at the OK Corral. He is remembered more for the turbulent environment of the late 19th century West than for technical innovation. His name endures as part of the broader culture of armed self-reliance that characterized that era. Like many of his contemporaries. See, I can get that big word out, but I couldn't say exhibition. He lived in a time when the ability to handle a sidearm competently could determine survival. And how so? Taken together, these two figures illustrate an important point. Firearms history is not about patents, models, and military adoption. It is also about individuals who use those arms and the standards of skill they set. Annie Oakley's deliberate excellence and Doc Holliday's association with the armed frontier both underscore the same principle. The practical value of firearms depends on the competence of the person who carries it. Let me say that a little bit louder for the people in the back. The practical value of a firearm depends on the competence of the person who carries it. That principle has not changed. Ownership without skill is incomplete. It's kind of like giving your husband a grill and expecting him to be an excellent chef. Well, except for me. You get my point. Giving your kid a guitar and expecting him to be,
you know,
Ace Frehley or something. Kiss. Whether the tool is a lever-action rifle of the 19th century or a modern defensive handgun, the measure of effectiveness remains the same. Consistent fundamentals and deliberate practice. This week, as we note the birthdays of Annie Oakley and Doc Holliday, we're reminded that American firearms history is carried forward not only by innovators and manufacturers, but by those who master the tools and use them responsibly. So that's this week's history lesson there from Shooter's Corner. Stay safe, stay armed, keep training, and we will see you on the range. Cool.
Just not the South Coast Marine Range.
You will not see me there unless I'm wearing full ballistic armor and in an armored vehicle. All right. If you want to understand the Second Amendment the way that the generation that demanded it understood it, you have to read the Anti-Federalist, especially the writings known as the Letters from the Federal Farmer. Now, that was a pseudonym, a name for, well, some believe that it was Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. There's some modern scholars that debate the authorship. Some point to Melancton Smith or Elbridge Gerry, but the substance tracks closely with Lee's known positions, and contemporaries often treated the farmer as speaking for him. What matters is the argument itself. The federal farmer insisted that a properly formed militia is not a select corps of professionals or a government-chosen elite. It is the people themselves. He wrote that to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught, especially when young, how to use them. A select militia, he warned, would answer the purposes of a standing army and leave ordinary citizens without arms, without the knowledge of how to use them, and defenseless. True Republicans, he said, must carefully guard against that outcome. I think what's incredibly interesting about what his philosophy was is if we have a standing army, then it's going to be just like Britain all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why we don't need a standing army. It is the responsibility of the citizens to be armed, trained, and then fight against, like, invading armies, right?
We're a backup to our army.
You would say that, and that's kind of what the premise of the National Guard is, but he believed that no standing army. Now, maybe the only problem that I would see from that from a history perspective is now you don't have the projection of power.
Yep.
So that's kind of what a purpose of a standing army is. Also the reason why we have, you know, rules that essentially say the standing army cannot go and do certain things without certain permissions, right? So, but anyways. Richard Lee lived these principles. He introduced the Resolution for Independence in 1776. When the Constitution emerged from Philadelphia without a Bill of Rights, he opposed ratification as written. In the Confederation Congress, he proposed amendments that included explicit protections for rights and limits on standing military power. As one of Virginia's first United States senators, he continued pressing for those guarantees. The Bill of Rights that emerged, particularly the Second Amendment's recognition of a well-regulated militia and the right of the people to keep and bear arms, was the product of exactly that pressure from Lee and his fellow anti-Federalists. Their core fear was not abstract. They had just thrown off a distant power that maintained professional troops and sought to control the means of resistance. They believed free people remain free only when they retain both the tools and the competence to defend themselves. Government forces, they understood, arrive after the fact. The citizen is the first responder. Say that again before we go into this break. I want that to resonate in your brain. They believe free people remain free only when they retain both the tools and the competence to defend themselves. Government forces, they understood, arrive after the fact. The citizen is the first responder. We got to go into our mandatory break here real quick, like, but I just want that to be stuck in your mind there. You are your own first responder. Train accordingly. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll finish up this thing on the federal farmer with Cindy, Matt, Chuck, Shooter's Corner, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back.
We are the heartbeat of Alaska. We are KFAR Radio.
I'm John Saucier. ICE reportedly is planning to spend as much as $20 million to give immigration officers electric shock gloves. Borders are Tom Homan defending the plan as a way to protect federal agents on Fox News Channel.
You've seen the videos in the past year and a half, the fights on the street where officers are overwhelmed. This would be a tool they can use to make someone compliant.
New York Attorney General Letitia James threatening to prosecute officers who misuse the gloves in her state. A judge temporarily pausing New York City's new second home tax after several city homeowners sued the government. New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Bruce Blakeman criticizes New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani on Fox Business.
His policies are destroying the economy of New York City and will hurt the whole state. So I will have to keep him in check, and I will keep him in check. I know what to do.
The mayor's called the tax fair and beneficial for working New York City residents. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a deal to provide tax exemptions for the proposed liquefied natural gas pipeline has fallen flat for lawmakers, and as it stands, there aren't plans to move the gas line forward. The governor pushed forward legislation to provide tax exemptions to clear the way for a gas line, but the House bipartisan majority caucus said in a statement that it doesn't have the votes. House majority leadership said intractable differences over a property tax relief provision in the proposed HB 4000 One had fractured support across party lines, with opposition coming from both majority and minority members. The proposed HB 4001 does not appear to have the support needed to pass the Alaska House, with opposition being expressed by both majority and minority members, the coalition said. The bill's apparent collapse comes during the third consecutive special session on the Alaska LNG project and triggered a sharp rebuke from the governor, who called the legislature's failure to act deeply disappointing.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner in Fairbanks, Alaska. We were talking about the federal farmer, which was anti-federalist, and Henry Richard Lee. And let's see, we just finished up with the fact that the government always arrives after the fact. The citizen is the first responder, and it's responsibility of the free people to remain free only when they retain both the tools and the competence to defend themselves. So now let's take a look at the present. This week, the Justice Department allowed a major federal court ruling against key National Firearms Act registration requirements to take effect. On August 5th, Judge James Wesley Hardix in the Northern District of Texas held that after Congress zeroed the tax on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and certain other weapons, the registration and transfer regime for those items no longer rest on the valid constitutional foundation under the taxing clause. The injunction covers the plaintiffs and their customers. The short stay expired. The government did not extend the fight in time. This is not a pure Second Amendment victory. The court dismissed the Second Amendment claims without prejudice as abandoned, but it is a structural win against the expansive federal regulatory scheme that treated ordinary arms and accessories as something the citizen must beg permission to possess. A federal farmer would have recognized the pattern, just an authority using administrative processes to interpose itself between free people and the means of their own defense. The anti-federalists did not demand anarchy. They demanded limits. They demanded that the sword remain primarily in the hands of the people rather than a select body answerable only to the center. They demanded that citizens be armed and trained because no one else can be counted on to show up in time. That is still the standard. Own the tools, learn how to use them. Refuse to become dependent on a system that treats your right as a privilege granted by paperwork. The federal farmer's warning remains as clear in 2026 as it was in 1788. A people that allows itself to be disarmed or left untrained has already begun to surrender its liberty. A people that allows itself to be disarmed or left untrained has already begun to surrender its liberty. Stay proficient, stay free. I thought that was pretty interesting. I think a couple other key things that need to be mentioned is the fact that it was a taxation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. And basically saying, like, you remove the tax, so therefore there's a requirement for that.
Yep.
But if you think you're just going to run out and be able to grab something, like, right away, I would hold off on that, knowing how our government operates. So we did some digging on this. I know, Matt, you got some points you want to bring up as well.
Yep.
I jumped on to the NRA ILA website, and they wrote an article yesterday, which is absolutely applicable to this, because I think people need to understand that, one, you need to be part of a party to this case. Two, it's not applicable to all 50 states. There are states that have their own regulatory restrictions on suppressors and short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns. So you're not going to be home to that. And you could talk about that, obviously, Matt. But let's talk about this real quick. So this was written by the NRA ILA. It says, on August 5th, 2026, Judge Wesley Hendricks of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas held that the National Firearms Act registration and approval requirements for suppressor short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns exceeded Congress's constitutional authority after Congress eliminated the NFA's transfer and making taxes on those arms. However, the court's order was stayed until today, August 12, 2026, and many gun owners are wondering exactly what will happen if that stay expires and the injunction goes into effect as currently written. While some aspects will depend on the government's discretion, until we have further guidance from BATFE, here is what we know. The parties. And this was written by the NRA ILA, so this is not just my opinion. I'm going to almost read this thing verbatim. Just also understand that none of us in this room are attorneys, so therefore, if you have any questions, you need to contact your own attorney. The injunction is limited in scope to the parties of the case. The case is two separate cases that were consolidated. So you had Silencer Shop Foundation v. ATF and the NRA-supported case Jensen v. ATF. The distinction is somewhat important because the injunction applies in slightly different ways to the different groups of parties. The SSF parties and the BNT USA Regulatory Firearms Regulatory Accountability Coalition, Gun Owners of Foundation, Gun Owners of America, Palmetto State Armory, Silencer Co. Weapons Research, Silencer Shop Foundation, the states of Alaska, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Montana, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming, and several individuals. The Jensen parties are the Texas State Rifle Association's NRA's Texas affiliate, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, FPC Action Foundation, Hot Shots Custom, and several individuals. The court's injunction applies to the parties and, where applicable, the parties' agencies, political subdivisions, members, and customers, both current and future. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So you can join the NRA or GOA or any of these other organizations and then automatically be included in this based off of what it says. This means that the protections of the injunction generally flow downstream in the chain of commerce. In general, this means that it will be important for manufacturers, distributors, and dealers to be a plaintiff or a member of a covered group, but customers of these businesses will likely be covered whether or not they are a member of a covered group. NRA has partnered with TSRA, that's that Texas affiliate, to provide a joint membership for those interested. So you can go to their website, get all that stuff. Go to the website, because there's also a whole bunch of what statutes and regulations are enjoined. We're not going to go through all the 26 USC, United States codes.
No.
The 27 CFRs. We're not going to do all that. But they enjoined as to silencer, short-barrel rifle, short-barrel shotguns for the covered parties. The injunction also includes any other weapons for the SS silencer shop. But anyways, get my point.
What was that?
Yeah. It's a lot of legalese. There's also some marking requirements. Got it. Perhaps more important than the statutes covered are those that are not covered by the injunction. So 18 U.S.C. 922 makes it unlawful for a licensed importer, licensed manufacturer, licensed dealer, or licensed collector to sell or deliver to any person any short-barrel rifle, short-barrel shotgun, except as specifically authorized by the Attorney General, consistent with public safety and necessity. In the past, compliance with NFA was considered authorization under this section. NRA is currently working, pursuing other avenues for the administration to provide this authorization, but without further action by the government, compliance with the former NFA procedures will still likely be required before transferring a short-barreled shotgun or short-barreled rifle. The requirement for transportation of short-barreled shotguns, short-barreled rifles was also not enjoined. So you can't go interstate with them still.
Nope.
Authorization for interstate travel of these firearms is still required. ATF has proposed to streamline this process by regulation. The injunction also does not apply to existing SOT, or special occupational tax regime, for dealers and NFA items. While it could technically be possible for non-SOT dealers to receive firearms from a distributor or manufacturer on the ATF Form 4, ATF will need to clarify if a SOT is required for dealers who engage in businesses of dealing in these firearms. Also, several states require compliance or registration under the NFA as a matter of state law. The injunction does not directly affect those laws, but may indirectly impact them. For example, if the NFA no longer requires registration of certain firearms, then a state law requiring compliance with the NFA should not be deemed violated by those otherwise lawfully possessing those firearms without registration. ATF has not indicated that they will stop processing NFA forms, so prospective purchasers of firearms in these states could still follow the NFA process to comply with state law. NRA's team is currently working with state attorneys general to protect gun owners in these states, and we will continue to monitor and seek to amend these laws. So, moving forward, the Jensen case is one of the three cases supported by NRA and our litigation partners, the American Suppressors Association, Firearms Policy Coalition, and the Second Amendment Foundation. The other cases are Brown v. ATF, Roberts v. ATF. On August 10th, Judge Stephen Clark of the Eastern District of Missouri heard our motion for summary judgment in Brown. We remain committed to expanding the injunction secured in the Jensen case and these other cases. Taking actions under an injunction is not without risk. An injunction can be dissolved or stayed with very little notice. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Taking actions under an injunction is not without risk. An injunction can be dissolved or stayed with very little notice. Like we kind of said before, like, all it would take is for the administration to change, and then all the rules are back.
Yep.
I don't know. Just don't trust them. While much remains uncertain with the injunction, the monumental nature of this win cannot be overstated. This is the biggest win against the unconstitutional NFA in its 92-year history, and it serves as a great example that the fight for our rights is never over. However, due to the complexity of these matters, it's important to note that this is not legal advice. We kind of said at the beginning. Now, Matt, you had something that was like kind of a breakdown as well.
Yeah, so Silencer Shop, which back and forth on this whole court hearing thing. Sensor Shop kind of spearheaded a lot of the legal stuff with the other plaintiffs. And they put out a video. It's a 5-minute video this morning about here's what to do, here's what you can do. And it was from through their legal team. But essentially breaking down what you should do and what you should not, which a lot of it was unless you've, you know, contacted a lawyer, you're in X amount of states or whatever, that the GCA applies, not the NFA, blah, blah, blah. Here's where you can go forward with it. Biggest key takeaways were if you're within, you know, one of these very democratic states, this doesn't change anything for you. There's a lot of states that their short barrel rifle, short barrel shotgun suppressor rulings, any of that stuff is under the Gun Control Act, not the NFA. So those people are technically deemed good per their own ruling and what they said. But in the same token, if you don't, you know, think it's good and you want to clarify, you have to speak to an attorney. But states like us, I think there's 12 states, Alaska, I don't think Texas, I'd have to look up all the states, but we still have in our laws, mentions of the ATF and the NFA. So you still have to go through the same Form 1 and Form 4 process as you were previously doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the other big things is, well, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
Because if you screw this up, just understand you could still get up to 10 years in federal prison and a $10,000 fine.
Exactly.
So you need to be very, very careful on this still. All right, stay tuned with us. We're going to be right back for our last half section, if you will. Here with Chuck, Sidney, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. Be right back.
Extensive shooting department has what you need for your next hunt. Rifles and shotguns by Browning, Ruger, Winchester, and more. Handguns by Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and many others. Ammunition and reloading supplies as well. Protect and transport your guns with gun boots by Kolpin and cases by Pelican. Be on target with optics by Swarovski, Bushnell, and Leopold. Preparing for your successful hunt begins with a trip to Frontier Outfitters. For Alaskan proven gear and clothing, trust Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. So, you want to go so far up the river you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Ben here at Auto Trim Design. Summer is moving down the road, and that means it's time to start getting ready for winter. At Auto Trim Design, we have something for everyone. Get your remote start with drone mobile, moose lights, heated seats, seat covers, tonneau covers, toppers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more before the snow flies. Auto Trim Design is your one-stop shop for all your vehicle accessory needs, located at 2550 South Cushman Street under the huge American flag. Stop in or give us a call at 456-8400.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
More clouds than sun today. Daytime highs approaching 80. Easterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Slight chance for isolated showers tonight. Lows around 57. Cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for isolated showers. 78. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner here. And we're talking about the recent ruling with the ATF. Actually, the court ruling out of the Northern District of Texas. But nonetheless, and we get it. There is a butt ton of information that's on social media. If that is your sole source of information, yeah, enjoy your 10 years and $10,000 fine, because that's probably what's going to end up happening. Like, you do not want to, you know, some dude doing whippets in mom's basement, like writing policy on Facebook is not the way to go. Like, you need to make sure you educate yourself and just kind of, I don't know, I'd just say follow the rules.
Yeah. Do a little digging.
Do a little digging on your own. Do your own research. But I did find this one thing, and it was actually pretty interesting. It was from M&M Guns or whatever like that, and it was like, attention, suppressor and SBR customers, read this before you do anything. I sent this to you as well, Matt.
Yep.
But it says, before you cancel your Form 4 or walk in expecting a same-day transfer, here's what you need to know. I thought that was pretty cool because Alaska Ammo actually posted on their Facebook feed this morning, like, If your expectation is to come in and just walk out the same day with a suppressor, it's not happening.
Yeah.
We're still going to continue the same rules. And that's probably a good thing, because that one thing that you found was like Alaska still requires like a Form 4 or whatever.
Yeah, so it's 27 considered free states. And then we fall under 15 of considered NFA states that state law requires a Form 4 or Form 1, depending on what you're doing.
Right.
So even with this ruling, and you may have friends in other areas that are able to go in today and fill out a 4473 and walk out same day with a suppressor. Some stores are doing it. Alaska, nothing has changed for us so far. So that while this is a huge win for the Second Amendment and the whole gun community, for Alaska and those other 14 states, there's still no change as of now for what we can do until state law changes, which we know how long that usually takes to happen.
And I would like to say, I mean, just me personally, I kind of would err on the side of caution, because mm-hmm. I just don't trust how the government would play this out.
Later. No, and there's per the court documents is that, so there was no injunction filed, great, but now there's 60 days to file an appeal. So
right.
If,
well, they have 53 more days, I think,
yeah,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, based off
right.
the first day. Yes. But so if the appeal goes through and we lose this, then per the own court proceedings is that technically those would become unregistered SBRs, suppressors, so on and so forth. So then you would be categorized as a felon. Here's the thing is, this was the same thing that was happening with the pistol brace ruling, I think a year or 2 years ago, when they said, get a free tax stamp, you have an amnesty period.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine if it happened, that's what they would do, because that would be a lot of people that were told, hey, this is good. And now you have five courts fighting each other. So if you don't know what you want to do, just don't do it yet. Just wait and see. In those free states, what's being advised from the ATF to, and I've seen this on multiple stores that are doing this now, but they've contacted the ATF and said, what are we doing in this circumstance? And while the information is not publicly available, because the ATF's attorneys have stated that within the next 72 hours, they will push out, like, here's how we can go moving forward.
Okay.
The ATF is saying, if you're in one of these free states, when you do the 4473, you mark it in the other category for the background check, and that's it. That's going to cover them. On the same token, again, we can't do it up here, so it doesn't really matter to us. Now, where it does matter is, and while the suppressor part of it is really cool, heavily implied and heavily talked about, is the short barrel rifle and short barrel shotgun. Because per the Gun Control Act, you still have to have a way to notify the state that you have this. And the mm-hmm. only way to do that still is through a Form 1 or a Form 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm saying
and
is...
And you still have to get permission to carry that into another state anyway.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, you'll be able to go in, you know, let's say this changes here. You'd be able to go in, you buy your, you know, SBR, whatever the case is. You do all the paperwork. What we don't know is the timelines. The ATF has said that they're working with the plaintiffs to come up with a solution to... like an expedited Form 4 or Form 1. So essentially, what I imagine is you do the 4473 and the Form 4, but it would come back the same time as the 4473, essentially just a quicker check. What I'm interested to see in, because based off of the wording in the court, which again, we're not lawyers, so just going off of the interpretation I've seen and as well as others have explained it who are lawyers, is that this looks like a really good time for companies like JK Armament, who made the like DIY suppressor at home, whatever. It wasn't a suppressor. It was just bits and pieces, and you got home and cut off the end of it, and you filled a Form 1 out.
None of my suppressors exist. They all identify as table legs.
Exactly. Yeah, they're table legs, oil filters, you know, whatever.
No, not an oil filter. No.
Not an oil filter. Yeah, sorry. That's the Honeypot, Timu Honeypot ad name is a 556 oil filter. Is this going to fall into the same effect as like P80 conversion kits, where you can buy them online, get them to your door, whatever, and you're supposed to do the right thing afterwards? Because there's no mention currently of a Form 1 being filed if you do that for the suppressor port. For the SBR and short barrel shotgun, there is. I see nothing for the suppressor part as of now, which, again, they've talked heavily about the Form 4, but nothing with Form 1 for that. But the other side of it is you have to remember that even with the NFA these things being considered unconstitutional and all the wind today, that does not apply. I know we've already said it does not apply to machine guns and destructive devices.
Don't, well, machine guns are covered by the Hughes Amendment.
Yes.
Okay.
But we still, you still, it still is categorized under the NFA. So I know people were upset about that. Why not get rid of the machine guns? Okay, let's not get into that argument right now. But with that, the only thing I see, the plus side having to do a 4473 with all this is if it is considered a firearm or a firearms component that requires a background check to own whatever, what it doesn't allow the ATF to do is say, let's say we got rid of, you know, the 4473. You can go on Amazon and order it and send it to your home. What does that allow the ATF to do? Make it just a bannable thing. If it's not serialized, you're not getting a background check, like a pistol, rifle, whatever, the ATF can't just outlaw it like they did pistol braces for an amount of time or bump stocks or any of that stuff. They can't just say, nope, bye-bye. So I do think, as much as it sucks that there is a compromise, I think having to do a 4473 is 1,000 times better than having to go through the hoops and ladders to include the ATF. Was it a few months ago when they were on trial? Even admitted that the NFA is a registry because there's no way to track these people without the NFA, these products, all these things that are happening, these approvals. So they admitted it was more of a registry stake than a tax stake, especially at this point in time where if we were to bring up the cost of the dollar from when the NFA went into now, the tax stamp would have been $4,300. Mm-hmm. So $200 isn't terrible to get rid of. We don't have to get rid of anything now. But in the same breath, I'd rather do a 4473 and know that these aren't going to get banned potentially in mass as easily. That people will try, but as easily as a bump stock could or a pistol brace or an FRT or whatever the case that they want to ban moving forward. So I think all in all, really good clause, but don't, especially if you're in Alaska, you're still following the same laws. You're just, that's it. You can be mad that the people on the other side of the grass are happy and buying suppressors in bulk from their, you know, whatever local gun dealer, if the gun dealer's allowing it. But just remember, follow the law until it has changed. There's no point in risking 10 years of your life away from your family, your job security and all that, because you wanted a suppressor a month before a decision was made as to what the state can do.
I think what's also important to understand is the ruling doesn't cover every American automatically.
Either. No.
Right. So coverage requires membership in a plaintiff organization, so GOA, NRA, SAF, FPC, or being a direct customer of a named plaintiff business, Silencer Shop, PSA, or Silencer Co.
Yeah.
So it's which not you can just still a, it's going to be apply. Interesting to see how they vet those people.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I think at that point they're not even going to care. I think it's just we're going to just assume. But I mean, like,
well, especially if you bought it from PSA, Palmetto State Armory, like you automatically became a customer because.
Yep.
I think the injunction also said something about future.
Yeah, future customers. So that was in GOA published that last night. They were talking about it, like, hey, the website. While we understand it's crashing constantly, you can still go on. I was checking the NRA website last night, the GOA, Firearms Policy Coalition, and it was just. Crashing after crashing after crashing, but that means people are going on and becoming members.
Well, and then also make sure we understand that they have stipulated that the 4473 background check is still required regardless.
Yes.
So it's not like you're going to be able to buy this thing off Amazon.
No, but the fact that now, because I mean, you can get suppressors shipped to your door, you know, through hoops and ladders. I think Silencer Co. and Silencer Shop have been doing that for a good minute now.
You still filled out a 4473.
Yeah, you still do all that stuff. It's not like you're. You know, it, like you just said, not well, 2-day delivery. That's it. Just press one thing and you're done. Like you're still going through steps, but at least you're going through them. Now I feel like it's just going to be a tad easier for the bulk of the country that can get to it now.
Right. So just remember also state suppressor bans are still in effect for the states that.
Boo.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much all the left coast.
Yep.
And then a bunch of other states, which. Don't need to go name, like New York, New Jersey. I was surprised to see Rhode Island on there. They're all states that I would never want to go to anyways.
I forget they exist.
But Rhode Island is pretty.
Yeah. I just forget it exists.
I know. So, also, and a lot of these other companies are not changing their transfer process until they receive official guidance from Silencer Shop or the ATF. because of penalties, as we alluded to earlier, 10 years in federal prison, $10,000 fine. Yeah, just not worth it.
Yeah, please don't go boycott your local gun store or your mom and pop shop because they won't sell you a suppressor right now today. Like, they're trying to save their behind because this is big legal trouble if anything happens and it wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. So the simplest thing you can do right now, join GOA, gunowners.org, NRA, whatever. You can join one of those organizations as well. And then just remember, nothing can be said about the NFA or the cases or anything else like that or legal advice.
Yep. not a thing.
This is an ever-evolving situation. Yeah. We just wanted to bring it up to you guys because, well, heck, this is Shooter's Corner. So we'll be back next week. Stay tuned next week, next Thursday, 11 o'clock, here at 97.5 FM, 660 AM, Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. Be safe out there. Enjoy the weather.
This is your Talk